Welcome to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you folks for joining us this week on Building the Bakken, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. Building the Bakken is not a political program, rather an informational brand. No polarizing talk, just conversations about the facts of the energy industry. Building the Bakken is about the people, the community, and the industry, those who are involved with the evolution of the Bakken oil field and the changing oil and gas industry. On today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio, we talk with Jeff Simon, director for the Western Dakota Energy Association, about their upcoming annual meeting, who the speakers are, what topics to expect. Vicki Granato, Energy Transfer Partners and the Dakota Access Pipeline. She talks about the Energy Transfer Partners and Dakota Access Pipeline's recent donations to the state and counties within the Bakken oil fields. Plus, Lynn Helms, director for the North Dakota Department of Mineral Resources, explains how the ERC and enhanced oil recovery is working out in the Bakken and how natural gas can add more jobs and product to the Bakken oil field. And William Prentice with our weekly Davis Refinery Update answers a couple questions on state regulations and the Public Service Commission. All that plus much more on today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. My name is Jason Spies. This is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
When I think of the world that I want to live in, it's with people that care, that take risks, that reinvent themselves, reinvent their organizations, reinvent their industries. And Eric's a model citizen for that. He's trying to solve problems. He's trying to bring people into those solutions. He does incredibly well, but he lives generously. I think a community filled with people like Eric that are solving problems, giving it their best, and creating an environment for others to lead and soar and succeed, that's the place I want to live. And so Eric's the type of person that's in my community, and I'm really grateful for that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Well, I was 2 years old when John Lennon died. Well, I was 23 when George said goodbye.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Jeff Simon, Executive Director for the Western Dakota Energy Association.
November 1st and 2nd at the Ramada Grand Dakota Lodge in Dickinson, we'll start with an opening social 5:30 the evening of the 1st. That's a Wednesday evening, and then get underway at 8:30 on Thursday, November 2nd. And, you know, the agenda is kind of heavy on technology, both oil and coal technology, the latest recovery techniques, and some of the promising research into coal and beneficial uses beyond just electric generation. And a couple speakers I didn't mention at the outset, Commissioner Julie Fedorchak from the Public Service Commission will give us an update on PSC activity. A lot of things going on with the pipeline sector, obviously, there. And we'll have some folks from North Dakota Department of Transportation and the local technical assistance program kind of talking about road assessments and road needs and different ways we've figured out how to extend the life of roads that are, you know, pummeled by heavy truck traffic all the time. And, you know, we're going to talk legislation, we're going to talk school funding, we'll talk about our truck permit system, and then again wrap up with Lynn Helms and a look at production activity in North Dakota.
And, of course, the easiest way probably to get that is just sign up for the newsletter. I get the newsletter. I love it. It comes once a week, and it's got about 10, maybe a dozen stories. And, you know, some of them I click on. Some of them I just kind of read that introductory paragraph. It's one of my favorite newsletters because it's actually structured in a way I like it. And I think a lot of people out there would like it, too, because you give enough information, and then if they want more, they can go get more. Plus, you know, that's, I think, maybe where I knew about the annual meeting. So where can people sign up for your newsletter?
They can do so right on our website. If you go to ndenergy.org, as in North Dakota Energy, ndenergy.org, there's a link to the newsletter on there. Just click on the news section. It'll take you to the newsletter. And there's always, once you find the, you know, we maintain an archive of the newsletters online. I think they're from the current time up back till December of last year. So you can kind of catch up on 8 or 9 months worth of energy news. But yeah, just click on the newsletter. There's a subscription. subscribe option in there, and you can do it, or you can just check out our website every week because it's there every week as well. So the Western Dakota Energy Association represents units of local government in the oil-producing region and the coal counties as well. So we look out for the interests of cities, counties, and school districts impacted by energy development. That's really the primary mission of the organization, through both advocacy, lobbying, legislation, that sort of thing, as well as education. We try to keep our members informed through a weekly newsletter. As for the industry itself, I think most folks are aware of the activity is happening, but it is now concentrated pretty much in the core counties. By that, I'm talking about the main four there, McKenzie, Montrail, Williams, and Dunn. All the drilling activity, or nearly all of it, is concentrated in that area. But the impacts being felt are very real out there right now. We've got, you know, somewhere between 50 and 60 rigs working, depending upon the day. It ebbs and flows a little bit. But that represents a lot of truck activity and, you know, just general impacts in those communities. And we need to look out for them and make sure that they're able to support the industry.
To listen to the full-length interview with Jeff Simon, Executive Director for the Western Dakota Energy Association, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
And then there'll be only Ringo to play. Well, Gandhi says an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. And I was 2 years old when John Lennon died.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
And I was born on the first day of my life. And I was 2 years old when John Lennon died.
If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And please follow our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. Listen to us on iTunes as well. Search The Crude Life. New and free downloads every single week on iTunes. Search for The Crude Life on iTunes.
And I was born on the first day of my life. And I was 2 years old when John Lennon died. You know that I've lived, yeah, you know that I've tried. Well, I've told the truth, yeah, you know that I've lied. You know we do what we do so we can survive. And I was 2 years old when John Lennon died.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Next, we talk with Vicky Granato from Energy Transfer Partners and the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Vicky Granato, Vice President of Corporate Communications for Energy Transfer Partners.
Vicky, talk about the recent donation you guys made.
Well, I'd be happy to. Actually, the donation is coming from our Dakota Access Pipeline, which went into service there in North Dakota, originating in North Dakota, traveling across four states, ending in Illinois. So that's been in service now a number of months, and it's part of our corporate philosophy that as we build pipelines and operate pipelines in communities across the country, that we give back to those communities. We certainly want to be a valuable member of the communities, a good business partner, that sort of thing. So community investment is part of what we do, and it's near and dear to the partnership. So we're doing that this week, beginning in North Dakota, where we are reaching out to the at the county level across the state, and donating $20,000 to each emergency response department. That's a logical partnership for us. If there ever was something where we, you know, had an incident and needed a response, that's where the response would come from. So it's certainly something that we view as a valuable relationship. We're also giving to 4-H and Future Farmers of America groups that are in all the counties along the four-state route. So we're looking forward to forming these relationships. We view them as long-term relationships. As you know, when you build a pipeline, the pipeline operates for decades, and so we view these relationships in the same way. In North Dakota, these donations actually follow a larger donation that we made a month or so ago now to the state of North Dakota. That one was a $15 million donation. That one's a little larger for us than we typically do on a county-by-county basis, but that was something we felt was the right thing for us to do in terms of all the support that we received, that the citizens of North Dakota received from the local law enforcement, and so a way for us to help them cover their budget areas in and around the costs associated with that.
Well, I tell you, I imagine the $15 million came in very much handy, that sort of thing, with budget cuts at the state level and the counties. You know, one thing I remember when I was out in Dickinson, I learned this. I kind of knew it, but I didn't know the number was so big. Volunteer firefighters. Now, you mentioned the emergency responders. I didn't know this. Like, it's something like 90% of fire departments in the country are volunteer. Did you know this about the firefighters at all, or is this kind of old news, I guess?
No, I would say I didn't know specifically 90%, but yes, through our research, we have learned the same thing that, you know, the surprising number of the fire departments are volunteer. And so, as I mentioned earlier, this is something that we do across the partnership. We're doing it for Dakota Access currently, but that is something that we do in all the counties in which we operate around the country. So we operate 71,000 miles of pipeline across the country. Some of that is crude, some is natural gas, some is refined products, so a wide variety of pipelines. And working with the emergency response departments, which does include the fire departments, is something at a partnership level that we do, and so we're certainly happy to extend that, you know, to North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and Illinois.
Well, I think anytime we can get the firefighters some new trucks and some new equipment, I think is great. I don't think they get enough credit out there. That's for sure. I did want to ask you this. You mentioned 4-H, FFA, Future Farmers of America,
And then, of course, you got the law enforcement and firefighters, that sort of thing. These are very foundational things for communities, you know. And you guys are in oil and gas. I mean, it's you aren't really giving to oil and gas. You're giving to things that are very important to communities outside of oil and gas. I mean, if you guys were to, you know, just to keep a community running, so to speak, on a daily level, do you guys notice that, or is that just something that I guess you guys have organically done?
You know, I guess we've organically done it. I think one of the things that drives, you know, Dakota Access and Energy Transfer Partners is, you know, I don't know if people sometimes overlook that. We like to say that, you know, we live here and work here as well. We're part, you know, part of the communities. We've got employees that operate and maintain our pipelines, which means in all these counties, we probably have employees that live in those counties. So supporting the foundation of these communities, you know, is something that our employees are also a part of. So it's just, you know, I guess being part of a good corporate citizen.
And that's important to point out, too, is the corporate citizen part of it as well. Okay, final question here. We're talking with Vicky Granado with Energy Transfer Partners, talking about some donations that have, I guess, been given over the last few months to a number of different states, a number of different counties, a number of different agencies. The reason I bring up those different donations, and I'm even going to lump in a story or two I did last year on Crestwood with a donation they gave, and XTO as well, and even I'll even throw, you know, One Oak in there with some of their construction they've done out in even Sydney, Montana, putting new offices in, that sort of thing. What I'm getting at is that the energy companies are not really ones to blow money unless it's done wise, and they spend money wisely. And it just seems like these are signs of long-term commitments from the energy companies. That's how I look at it, like signs that, hey, they're going to stick around here for a long time, because people always do question that, it seems like. And the shale business has completely changed over the past decade, in my opinion. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
Sure, definitely. And yes, I think, you know, we, again, pipelines run and operate, you know, for decades. So we do look at this as a long-term commitment. Our CEO, Kelsey Warren, has been very open and has been quoted a number of times in media interviews that he has done that, you know, this is a long-term commitment from us in terms of Dakota Access specifically, that we will continue to be a good corporate citizen in these communities, and it, you know, it is something that we will, you know, look at year after year.
Any final thoughts? Any final words?
You know, just that we, you know, we're thankful for the support that we received when we were constructing the Dakota Access Pipeline. We're happy to say that it is safely in service.
To listen to the full-length interview with Vicky Granado from Energy Transfer Partners and the Dakota Access Pipeline, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on social media on facebook.com/thecrudelife. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
So glad I can hear it all. When I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm choking with the people that I know.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Up next, we talk with Lynn Helms, Director for the North Dakota Department of Mineral Resources.
Yeah, Jason. Yesterday, I was part of Bakken 2.0 and talked about brand new technologies or coming technologies that we think are going to impact Bakken and North Dakota oil and gas industry. And then today I was on a panel with John Haru and Chris, I can't remember Chris's last name, with Liberty Resources.
Right.
And we were talking about improving oil recovery from the Bakken. So we talked about refracs, we talked about new hydraulic fracturing technology, we talked about enhanced oil recovery, and we're behind all those things in a big way, regulatory-wise, and trying to do everything we can to encourage those things. Liberty is also a big proponent doing refracs and getting ready to start a pilot enhanced oil recovery project. And of course, EERC has done all the lab work to help companies know what might and might not work in terms of enhanced oil recovery. So a great triangle there and a good panel and a lot of interest from the audience.
I got silicon written down. I wanted to bring that up because Chris Wright from Liberty Resources did bring that up as an example, and it was a good example about how we had this abundant product that we didn't know how to use properly, and now that we know how to use it, and right away I thought of natural gas. Right away, that's the first thing I thought of. And there are some other things too, whether it be CO2 as well. And let's touch on that, but then I want to get back to something you said about we're behind on regulation. So if I forget my thought, but let's talk about the silicon and just the abundance of waste, if you will.
Right. So, you know, Chris used silicon as an example of how mankind looks at things that are abundantly available and doesn't really find a useful purpose for them, and how it was just in the 20th century that we figured out that silicon had an incredible value in terms of electronics, and it powers really modern 21st century life. He was talking about the abundance of ethane and the abundance of produced natural gas in the state of North Dakota, and how just because those are abundant doesn't mean we're thinking innovatively about how to utilize them and make better use of them. So some of the things that we're pushing, obviously enhanced oil recovery, like we talked about, both of those have potential for that. But I don't think you want to forget about the state's efforts through commerce and through work with taxes to try to get value-added industries into the state so that rather than exporting natural gas or natural gas liquids as a commodity, we actually add value to them, that we create North Dakota jobs, create capital investment in North Dakota, and build an industry that adds value and sells finished products instead of commodities.
After you guys spoke, Governor Burgum took the stage, and normally in this show we don't get political. It's not meant to be a political statement, and you don't get in the political realm either, although it's all around you all the time, and that's where I'm coming at. His message was about as subtle as sandpaper, that North Dakota's behind on a lot of things. You mentioned we're behind on the regulatory side. He brought up several other things, whether it be from the UAS industry in terms of capturing data, that big data is another thing. That's how I took it, is that North Dakota has got to kick some things in gear. Am I out of line for thinking that?
Well, I don't think that the governor was necessarily, or that I was talking about the fact that we're behind, but we've lost that edge. In first place, the competition for capital has shifted to Oklahoma and Texas. And largely because the perception is there that they can produce oil cheaper and faster, they're closer to markets, and that if North Dakota is going to take first place again in terms of competition, we've got to become cutting edge first in technology, in regulation, in innovation, in value added, in all the areas that we've been talking about. So we haven't exactly fallen behind, but we haven't continued to innovate to the extent that we maintain first place in terms of where capital wants to go.
And I guess in part of it of falling behind, as you're right, it's not necessarily even falling behind. It's more of an observation and not a warning, but hey, this is what historically has happened, and if we don't change our behavior or thoughts, this is what's going to happen to us. And I got that out of the big data, the technology, because I don't think people understand the speed of change when you're talking about technology. And I remember 3-4 years ago sitting in a meeting in Bismarck hiring pilots. Now we're talking about drones, and that's within a year or two. What else is changing rapidly out in the oil and gas world?
Well, I think the governor touched on it, and that is automatic data collection and data analysis. We can collect an awful lot of data, but if we don't automate those systems for the data collection so that we're gathering what we need continuously and when we need it, and if we don't automate the analysis of the data, then we just fill enormous amounts of data storage with information that is useless to people in terms of innovation and improvement. So he's really pushing the initiatives of more automatic data collection points and systems to automatically analyze that and alert somebody that there is an issue or an opportunity to make something happen.
I think we've talked about this years about layering in some other industries, and I think when ag gets layered in, we're going to see some incredible change. And that brings me to my next question, and we're going to wrap up here, is, you know, the bear bull market, we heard a lot of that today, is whether we're in a bull market, a bear market. But I like to, in oil and gas, I look at it as an execution and a research and development as the bull and the bear. And I'm starting to see some of that execution from these science projects that they had for years and years. You at the ERC, with your involvement there, talk about some of the innovation that's going on and how we're starting to see the execution.
Well, I think you brought something up that's important to keep in mind, Jason, is that the oil and gas industry is capable of generating profits in a bull and a bear market. There's a difference, obviously, in a bull market when oil prices are high or rising, capital is attracted to things like drilling and increasing production. In a bear market, when prices are declining, then the shift and the focus is to investing capital in innovation and automation and reducing costs. And so we've seen through state government and through the EERC that same kind of a shift from how can we figure out processes to drill more wells faster, to how can we figure out processes and data that allows us to produce oil at a reduced cost. And both of those will keep North Dakota highly competitive. But we need to be able to refocus as the markets shift from attracting capital because prices are going higher versus attracting capital because we're learning how to shift costs or reduce costs.
To listen to the full-length interview with Lynn Helms, Director for the North Dakota Department of Mineral Resources, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like I mentioned, Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network, and all of our social media links can be found at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies. This is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
I think it's a really exciting time for our young leaders today because leaders like Eric Hatch are changing the face of what it means to lead an organization or what it means to lead a brand. He's changing that. For many years, I think that the gold standard of leadership has been somebody who is very polished and has it all together or seemingly has it all together. And throughout the years, I think that we've now, especially with technology and social media, we are drawn to what's real.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, William Prentice, the CEO of Meridian Energy Group, about the Davis Refinery coming to Belfield, North Dakota. Am I way out of line with that analogy? But that's kind of like how I've been looking at this.
Well, no, you know, it's not out of line. You got guys like that are highly qualified, that know the business at least as well as we do. They're going to be tough on you, and you're not going to get away with anything. So, you know, we might, you know, grouse about it once in a while, and just like when you run that extra mile, you're not very happy with that extra mile halfway through it. but you do it, and you get it done, and you're better off for it. And those guys really put us through our paces, and I think the project is much, much stronger as a result.
All right, so let's talk about another misleading speculation that I've heard out there regarding the Public Service Commission and some permits. I heard something about it. I made a call to a couple of the commissioners out there I've known for a while. I didn't really understand what the heck they were talking about, so I thought I'd just talk to you a little bit about it. And do you expect to submit an application to expand 55,000 BPDs? That's kind of what I was trying, I guess, to get to the bottom of. I guess, where are you at with the process?
Well, I mean, the laws and the regulations are pretty clear. The PSC has jurisdiction over and must issue a siting certificate for a energy processing facility of 50,000 barrels per day or over. So we get ready to go ahead with the second phase of Davis, which would take us up to about 55,000 barrels per day. Yeah, we got to go to the PSC and get a siting certificate. You know, we've always expected to have to do that. It's not a big deal. You know, the confusion, I think, started because, you know, when we went to the health department, you know, you got to go to the health department no matter how big your refinery is. It could be 2 barrels a day, and they would have to review it for your quality permits. So, yeah, we had to go there. They asked us to go ahead and submit our application for both phases at once. Not because, you know, the second phase is a foregone conclusion, but because, in fact, you know, decisions you make about designing both phases impact the emissions for the first phase significantly. And again, you know, we complained about it amongst ourselves when they asked us to do that. But as a result, I mean, anybody looking at the documents will notice that the amended application submitted in April has significantly lower emissions that we're asking to be approved than the one we originally submitted in October. So, you know, in fact, the fact that we had to go through that two-phase system or process enabled us to improve the design again. Again, you know, health department, we complained about it at the time, but they knew what they were doing. We don't have to go to the PSC until phase two, so there's no reason to do that. We're aware of the law, and we're gonna do exactly what we're supposed to do in connection with the PSC siting certificate. But that's not till 2 or 3 years down the road.
Any final thoughts you have about what's going on out there at the Davis Refinery? Either anything that we didn't talk about, anything you want to reiterate? We have the CEO, William Prentice, of Meridian Energy Group on the line with us. So take advantage of the opportunity to find out latest and greatest updates with the new Davis Refinery, going to add thousands of jobs out there to the Bakken oil field. I'm getting excited for it. To me, it's exciting. First greenfield refinery, 50 years. I'd imagine you guys are just extremely excited to get this project done. And the word fruition comes to mind. Come to fruition.
There's a lot to be said for that comparison because, you know, it's more like farming than ranching. You know, you're husbanding this entire process and trying to create something that's going to last for a long time. And, you know, we've had our heads down digging for quite a while, but every once in a while you have a chance to kind of stand there and look around at what you've accomplished. And in the community for the last 2.5-3 years, we have accomplished a lot. And this project now has tremendous momentum. We're very happy about the status of all of our permits and all of the commercial relationships that have been developed to support the refinery. And we're just eager to get into construction. I mean, that's when it'll be even more real to everybody. And I think we'll be there pretty soon.
To listen to the full-length interview with William Prentice, the CEO of Meridian Energy Group, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
We're kind of like that, we're kind of like that, girl. We're kind of like that, we're kind of like that. We're kind of like that, we're kind of like that, girl.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. That concludes this week's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For a full list of our media affiliates, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. Building the Bakken would also like to thank its sponsors, MBI Energy Services, cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. For more information on MBI Energy Services or to check out their latest job offerings, visit mbienergyservices.com. That's mbienergyservices.com. Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty's in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. The Eric Hatch team may not sell real estate in your community, but they can be a resource and a connection for you. Give them a call today at 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. The Lodge at Deadwood. The next time you're planning a conference, wedding, or weekend getaway, consider the Lodge at Deadwood. For more information, visit deadwoodlodge.com. That's deadwoodlodge.com. That's the Lodge at Deadwood, located in the beautiful Black Hills. And from the staff at Building the Bakken, my name is Jason Spies. We're asking you to be safe, be happy, and make it a great day. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
When you get Eric Hatch involved in something, you get 100% of him. You get him, you get his team, you get his family, now you get his kids. This is a guy that puts his heart into his work. What I really appreciate about Eric is his vulnerability. And there's times he hits home runs, and there's times where maybe it doesn't go the way everybody hoped, but I've always respected how much he loves his work. I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings, where he gave a talk, and I saw him come into his own, where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. It's been said that if you want to create competition, tell everyone your success, and if you want to create compassion, share your weaknesses. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished, and it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.